The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. Whoever they are, this man and merchant go to extraordinary lengths to get what they are after. The man finds treasure in a field, sells all that he has, and buys the field. The merchant does the same, and he gets his pearl. They hold nothing back for the treasures they seek, and they get what they are after. Grammatically simple, in these parables, there is the question, just what is our Lord Jesus saying here? Could it be he's calling his disciples to take a vow of poverty? A vow of poverty for the sake of his kingdom? Is God commanding us to empty ourselves of all our belongings? Just give away everything you have, sell it all, and then heaven will be yours. Is this the point of Jesus' teaching? There are Christians who see the parables in this light. That Jesus is saying, renounce all of your possessions, and then you will receive the kingdom of God. But this interpretation makes us nervous, doesn't it? Because that would mean, to be a Christian, you have to give away all of your stuff. Stuff we kind of like. Stuff we want to hold on to. Stuff we maybe even want to worship. Stuff that might seem from time to time to be a little better than even heaven itself. Is God's kingdom worth more than earthly things? Of course it is. There's no question. It's a treasure without comparison. Life with your God. Think about that. Life in eternity with your God. There's nothing here on earth that can experientially prepare you for what it will be like when Christ takes you, his child, to be with himself. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, God has prepared for those who love him. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. That verse alone, friends, should cause us to pause and take a deep breath before rushing to the bookstore and buying a book in which the author claims to know what heaven is like. It's a treasure. It's a treasure so great the mortal mind in a fallen world can't comprehend it. But Scripture does teach us some things about life everlasting. One, we don't turn into angels when we die. Nowhere does Scripture teach that after death we turn into angelic beings. Halos, harps, and wings might make for a pretty picture, but its biblical accuracy leaves a lot to be desired. But what we do know in the treasure of God's kingdom, in everlasting life, what we do know, we hear from God's holy word, and that is for the Christian, for God's child, death is but a portal to life everlasting. You live forever because your Savior Jesus lives forever. That is the promise. And God promises you, you have a resurrection of your physical body to look forward to. That means there will come a time when you go to be with your Lord of no suffering, no decay, no sin, and that in turn means no death. Your physical flesh will one day, Christ says in his word, be imperishable, immortal, incorruptible in the presence of your God. Now, don't ask me what kind of body you're going to have in everlasting life. Pastor, will I be 20? Will I be 30 again? Will I be 40? I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But I will say this much. It will not be on your mind. Christ has secured this gift for you, friends. Now, wrapping our minds around this glorious biblical truth and really comprehending it, it's hard. Painfully hard. For sinners who are tempted to abandon these heavenly treasures to go after those earthly things, those earthly treasures. I say unto you, the kingdom of God is a treasure like no other. Make no mistake. We look forward to it, we long for it, and we should be willing to forsake everything for this kingdom. But, if this is the main point of these parables, that we need to sell everything in order to get something divine, then these parables present to us only another crushing law from God that now reveals our unwillingness to let go of everything. Think about it. If God's kingdom belongs to you only when you empty yourself of all your possessions, we're in a heap of trouble, because last time I checked, we all have a lot of stuff. Don't let it get in the way of your salvation. Don't let earthly treasures become more important than heavenly treasures. Salvation, eternal life in the presence of your King. The man and the merchant in these parables, they give everything they have to get what they are after. But there's not a sinner in the world capable of doing that. And when you think about it, there is only one who is. Friends, read the Old Testament and you will see God has always pursued his people. And he holds nothing back. Noah and his family, God saved them through those flood waters. God rescued his people Israel from Egyptian slavery, and he called them a holy people, a chosen people. And they did not earn those titles. But God chose them. God remembered and loved them. God kept in his mind his promise and covenant to Abraham, the great patriarch to whom God promised he would make him a father of many nations. God even gave Israel the very sacrifices that God would accept from them. And he did so, promising them that they were his redeemed people. Yes, Israel gets exiled. We hear that narrative in Holy Writ. But even when Israel was exiled by a foreign power, God never forgot them. He never forgot them. And he would bring them out of exile from Persian captivity and remind them once again that he is their God of deep love, compassion, and mercy. And his promise to them is, you shall be holy because I am holy. Friends, this is God going after his people. This is God saving his people. And these saving acts that I just mentioned to you, they take the reader of Holy Scripture, they lead up to the greatest saving act in the New Testament, where we hear God's word, we see Christ come in the flesh. The Father sends his Son in human flesh. Christ comes into the world to save, taking on human flesh, being born of a virgin, setting aside his divine majesty as our King to bear your sin, giving his life as a sacrifice that saves the entire world. Salvation, friends, is God going after and saving you. And the Father does not even spare his very own Son in doing it. Divine blood pours from the cross. When the Lord Jesus sacrifices himself to save humanity buried by sin. Even shiny treasures lose their luster when they're buried in the ground. And as creations of God, we're still soiled, dirtied by our sin. And as dirt buries and dirties even the brightest of gold, there are many sins piled upon us, and like the man who pulls out the buried treasure from the ground, we can only escape our pile of dirty sins when Christ rescues and pulls us out of the heap. Conflict, family warfare, deep-seated anger, the pride that blinds the eyes, a tongue that talks too much, a mouth that gossips, lies that slip, minds that wander, eyes that gaze at other gods, may they be possessions or other people. We do them all, and they bury us without hope. Sin makes us dirty before God. But thankfully, the parables today reveal the one who does stop at nothing to make us clean, to find, wash, forgive, and save his people. Jesus is the one who has come into the world to pursue and save sinners. He is the merchant who gives even his life to purchase you, to acquire you from the bondage of sin and even death. Christ is the one who grabs you in his hands, giving you the confidence of knowing that as God's baptized child, his promise unto you is you are an heir to his everlasting kingdom that has no end. This kingdom is a treasure, unlike anything here, and it's a treasure that only God gives. It's a treasure that doesn't perish, and it is yours by way of Christ and his work to purchase, to redeem, to save you. When we see the parables in this light, in the light of seeing God pursue and save sinners, not even sparing his own son to do so, talk about giving everything. Not only does this fit the greater context of Holy Scripture, where we see God throughout his word working to save his people, but this provides all of you the comfort of knowing when you go home tonight and you lay your head down on your pillow, you do so knowing you have peace with God through Christ. You rest in his hands. You rest in his care and his protection. And the epistle lesson today from Romans 8, in that word, we hear God promise. Nothing takes that away from you. Nothing separates you from God's love that is poured out on you richly in Jesus Christ. Not sickness, not famine, not poverty, not even death. Because Christ gave even his life to make you his own and forgive you and promise you a life without end. By grace, these promises belong to you. Consider them yours. And they are yours because of a merchant, a king named Jesus who stopped at nothing, to purchase you for himself, to make you his child, even at the cost of his very own life. Go in his peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.